of your today, while your today is a result of your yesterday. Now, I want to beg that, we heard it this morning, that what makes people to fail and what makes people to move on in life, I paraphrase what he has said, is diligence, right? Absence of it or presence of it. When you are diligent, you will succeed in life. And when you are not diligent, you will fail. Now, one major challenge I keep throwing to you at this point in time in your life is that this time, while in school, is time for you to prepare for the future. And sincerely, this time, never you look for money. Don't pursue money. Don't look for money. Don't say, oh, maybe that program, they said they will give us money when we're... No, don't look for money. This your time is a time to just making sure you are preparing for the future. It's not time to be looking for easy way out. It's a time for you to pay your dues, all right? To go through the necessary sufferings in life because you are preparing ahead for something that is worthwhile. And then I will call this time that you are in right now as your today. This is your today. Because right before my face, I realized that just in a short while, by the time you graduate, you know, you are no longer the same person. Something has changed. It's just like the difference between someone in 100 level and someone in SHS 3 is not 1 year. The difference between someone in 100 level and someone in SHS 3 is not 1 year. Don't think, oh, it's just 1 year. No. Someone in 100 level is a whole lot of things that things have changed about him, because the person in SHS 3, do you understand, may not gain admission the year to come. Don't you think so? He may not even gain the admission 3 years to come. So don't think, oh, it's just 1 year. The same thing, someone that has just graduated, the difference between that person and someone in a 400 level is not also 1 year. Strike may take place and then you won't be able to graduate in the next 3 years. But this one is done with school, don't you think so? So what am I saying? These 4 years on campus is a time of preparation. God has made it in such a way that God always gives you today. Today is a gift. Today is a gift. What I mean by today, yesterday can be defined as today that has been spent and gone. Yesterday can be defined as today that is spent and gone. So yesterday is gone, you've spent it. You've spent it and it's gone. But it was first of all today, before it became yesterday. Right? So look at today. Today is going to become yesterday by tomorrow. So today, you call it today, but by tomorrow it becomes what? Yesterday. And then it will be gone. And tomorrow is today that is yet to be spent. Tomorrow is today that is yet to be spent. All right? So tomorrow is your today, but you have not yet spent it. It's like savings. You have it there. So by the time it's 12 p.m., you call it today. But today, you call it what? Tomorrow. So everything is actually what? Today. It all depends on how it's, you know. So today, are you seeing that now? Today will become yesterday, tomorrow. And tomorrow will become what? Today, when you get into it. And so your ability to know that all that you always have is today. What is in your hand is what? Today. Not yesterday. Not tomorrow. And so today is the most important aspect of life. Now, today. So sometimes, the reason why people are in diligence like we have had is because they give excuse, oh, tomorrow will come, I will do it. And then when tomorrow comes, you realize that what you ought to have done today, you are trying to do it tomorrow, and then you have missed the whole opportunity because tomorrow is coming up with its own peculiarity. You see, oh, he told us coming every day to this place, it takes diligence to keep coming, And then you're asking yourself, what am I going to do with all that I'm hearing today, not tomorrow? So today is a special gift. If you look at the scripture, God didn't create yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God didn't create that. What did God create? Today. So God created only today. The first thing he created was what? Today. He said, the first thing he said, he created day and night. And he calls it the first day. What did he create? Day and night. And he calls it the first day. Did you hear that God created another day and night again? No. He's only created one day and one night. And he calls it today. And it is that first one day and one night that he has created. He's calling today, tomorrow, and then. So your today is crucial, and then is the best gift that you have from God. And that today can be like 10 years. That today can be like 20 years. That today can be like 30 years. Now all of your years on earth, whether you live for 90 years, as far as God is concerned, it is today. If you live for 90 years, as far as God is concerned, it is today. And then when you die, you will be in your yesterday. And you can't correct anything. It means the whole of today, you didn't do anything. Then all you have to do is to stand before the judgment throne, and you'll be judged based on how you have lived yesterday. And then you can't go back and say, please, let me go and correct it. You can't. It will be too late. So as you are right now, last week I said that you must be intentional about your future. And if you are going to be intentional about it, you will pay attention to what? Today. Today is what we pay attention. In fact, Jesus taught us that we should not trouble ourselves about tomorrow. Is that not what he told us? He said, don't be bothered about tomorrow. Do you know something is always trying to trouble you for the future? Something is trying to hijack your heart. Just focus on the future. And when you focus on the future, it isn't that you'll be planning good things. That it is trying to weigh you down. Fear of the future. So all you need to take care of is today. Now, when you take care of today, for instance, you have a routine of how you are going to spend your each day, then forget about tomorrow. Tomorrow is already set. If you set today well, tomorrow is what? Is set. So you must be intentional about today. In today, you'll be making series of decisions. You'll be making lots of decisions. Lots of decisions. Lots of decisions. Lots of decisions. So in your today is a time to be making decisions. Don't run away from deciding. Don't run away from participating in your own life effectively to decide. No to this one. Yes to this. Because every no you say to a particular event in your life, you actually say yes to the other alternative. So participate. No. And then I now told you that the three things that are necessary for setting platforms for your future are, number one, see ahead. You know, maybe I used to, when I want to go and write exam tomorrow, or when we are preparing, when we are preparing for this, I would just say, Treasure, think about the things we will need tomorrow. Think about the projector coming up. Do you see now? Think about what will it cost? What will make the projector to come up tomorrow? The projector, the laptop, the keyboard, the three wires. Think that way. Then with this, the projector is coming up. So in life, you must be able to see ahead. And then when you see ahead, you see your future. I and my wife, we saw two children ahead of time. How many? We had that discussion while in school. Now, it wasn't our first discussion. Oh, two. How many do you want? Two. Oh, two. It's okay. Why? Because we're going to be missionaries. We're going to be moving around. So it's going to be easy for us. Some said, no, don't worry about movement. You can have 10. It will affect you. It will affect your movement. You want to travel to Canada now. Just to go to Canada, it's about 4 million naira is how much in Ghana cities now. It's about 80,000 Ghana cities. 1 million. 1 million. I'm trying to calculate it well. 1 million. 1 million naira. It's now 1 to 1. So 1 million is 10,000. Okay, that's 40,000 Ghana cedis. 40,000 Ghana cedis. So to travel. So if I'm going, if four people are going to Canada, how much do we need? 160,000 Ghana cedis. Naya. So if we are 10, how much is that? Yeah, I will be rich. No, don't fantasize. Somebody say you are not going to be rich. Now, so you see, now they will even tell you to travel to Canada, there's a size of family member you can bring. Don't you think so? You mustn't exceed. So you have removed it.
Some three, some four.
But no 10. And that's how my mother gave birth to me. We have large family. So me too, I will have large family. You decide ahead. Are you seeing it? You decide ahead. This is not so. Your today must be full. I'm going to scripture. Your today must be full in deciding. Now, I'm going to show you that these decisions you are going to be taking, it's not going to be you only. You're going to be deciding. Now, do you know that in those days, if you like, you can give birth to 12? Now, today, because in those days, when you give birth to 12, a woman will stay at home. That's a full-time job, right? Now, today, a woman wants to work. You say, my wife, you just stay at home with the children. That's your work. The woman will say, no, I've gone to school. I won't do that. And then the economy isn't laughing anymore. Things keep getting difficult. In fact, Jesus told us, he said, woe unto him that has a child at that time, when he will be coming. The world will be troubled. Woe unto him that has a baby. Because things, you know, I remember there was a riot in Nigeria and my mom left my younger sister on bed. She was newly born that time. And ran. She has run a distance before she met my daughter. So, but what I'm saying is that I and my wife, we decided way back in university, we're going to have two. Yes, two is okay. And then we told ourselves again. We said, what if we don't have any? It's okay. What if they are both males? It's okay. What if they are both females? It's okay. That decisions has helped us, you see, over the years. Now, if at some point you want to change it, because you had planned it earlier, you have to sit down well to decide again, do we change it? Does it worth the while? So, in life, you must think ahead. So, like I said, think ahead. Now, most people, they only see ahead, but they aren't thinking. Now, so you see it. Well, I'm not going to be poor. You have seen something. Well, I'm going to own a business. You've seen it. I'm going to be a businessman. You've seen it. Oh, pastor, I'm going to be a rich man. It's good. You've seen it. Oh, my marriage is going to work. You've seen it. Well, I'm going to be an international businessman. You've seen it. I'm going to be a preacher. You've seen it. People, like he's told us, it's easy to see. Don't you think so? Now, is there anyone here who is seeing anything bad? That when I'm done with school, I'll be living in one room. Did you see that? Did you see you'll be begging for money? Did you see it, sir? You don't see those. You only see positive. You are excited about the future. Oh, when I'm done. Oh, when I'm done like this, this will happen to me. This will happen. You are seeing something good. But it's not just in your seeing. You must now go to the second one. You begin to think. You see, thinking is work. Now, we read it in the scripture last week. Now, how many of you, let's go to that place, Luke chapter 14. Think. We saw it last week. You've got to think. Now, when you begin to engage in thinking, meditation, well, I love to call it meditation. Jesus said something in Luke 14, 26. Let's read from 28. Luke 14, 28. And then, for which of you intending, you see intention? I said last week you must be what? Intentional. Intending to build a tower, sits not down first. Now I said, while sitting down, what you are doing is that you are thinking and count the cost, whether you are sufficient to finish it. Now when you think, when you begin to think about the tomorrow, which will eventually become your today, what you are doing is that you are engaging your faculties to settle on something. Now, I didn't say this to you last week. You can't have a good thinking pattern when your mind is dirty. You know, so many minds are dirty. So God is telling us in Romans 12, can you look at Romans 12? So if your mind are dirty, you just have some shortfall, some kind of thinking that cannot last you into the future. In verse 2, Romans 12, 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. You see conformation. Don't do things the way people are doing it. That's what it means. Do not pattern your life the way people are patterning their lives. Don't be conformed. Treasure, please come. Don't be what? Be conformed. Other come. Now, don't be conformed. Conform, you know, to be a maverick, that is, you are going to do things differently. This is how people are moving. We are free. And then, this is where the whole world is facing, but you have seen that this is the right place to face. And then, while let's move. While two of us are moving this way, he is moving that way. He is going the opposite side. It means he's not conforming. And what will help him, thank you, what will help him, I'm coming, what will help him not to be conformed is that you will be what? Transformed. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you don't want to be conformed, what must happen to your mind? Your mind must be going through process of renewal. Your mind must be going through process of renewal. Can I tell you the truth? If you want to live a different life, something tells you when you are done with school, you go and look for a job. Is that not what something tells you? Look for a job. But you know it doesn't have to go that way. You may finish school, you start your business. Oh no, that's not the way it works. You need the experience. You need to gather or garner experience that then you learn. But do you know nobody says that's how it should be? Nobody says that's how it should be. Because people, that's the norms. Please, everybody should go to school. But something tells you without school, you can't make it in life. Is that not it? That's the norms. That's what the norm says. You got to go to school before you can be okay in life. You know, that's the norms. Somebody tells you, you know, so you have to be able to transform your mind. And how do you go through transformation? It has to be renewed. Your mind must be renewed. And when your mind is being renewed, you'll be transformed. You'll be changing. When I was leaving my job, you know, everybody will call me and say, why do you want to leave your job? People believe that you don't do that. You don't do that. Something is going to happen to you. See, you have responsibilities. You have this one. You have that one. But your thinking is quite different. It's the way you are thinking. I wasn't resigning my job to go and do pastoring like people are doing pastoring today. You know, you just set up big and the offerings will be coming in. So if you want to do anything worthwhile for the future, your mind must be renewed. This is your mind. It has to be renewed. So what you are thinking ahead must be different. So the word of God says, as a man thinks in his heart, so what? He is. So your thinking is you. So the way you are thinking is what will model your future. We will all see your mind or your heart in nearest future to come, maybe 5 years to come. They will be, it is going to be as a result of your thoughts. You see, where I am today, the accumulation of what? My thoughts. Are you seeing that? So people will see that your mind in years to come, because what you are thinking today will propel you or will advance you to the future, whether desirable or undesirable. So the first thing you must do is that you must do something about your thinking. So first of all, today I want to talk to you about this, your thinking. Last week we talked about thinking, right? We look at Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, what you should think on. Is that not it? Anything that is lovely, anything that is pure, of praiseworthy, excellent, honorable. Do you understand? Think about these things. Is that not what the word of God says? Now, how do you begin to think wholesomely, excellently? Because your thinking is important. Because your thinking is important. How you think is important. And I said last week that some thinking are what? Thinking. It thinks the way we think. And so why do you think that way? It is first of all because there are lies in your head. Inherited lies in your mind. There are lies all of us here we have inherited. Based on our tribes, based on our environment, based on our upbringing, based on our family lives. There are lies you have inherited. And so the first thing is that you must begin to identify the lies in your head. There are lies that have settled down in your mind as a result of your geographical location, your environment. There are lies that you should begin to confront. Those lies are settled down in your mind. And I will tell you a few examples of these lies. I'm the only one, I must be sincere with you, who can help you to jettison these lies is God. Who put those lies there? It's the devil. Now, going into the unseen realm, the devil is a liar. Maybe I should point your attention to it once again. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We are still looking at thinking ahead. John chapter 8. John 8. I want you to read verse 44. John 8, 44. Yes.
You are of your father the devil, and the love of your father you will do.
All right.
He was a murderer from the beginning.
Yeah.
And abode not in the truth.
He doesn't stay in the truth. The devil doesn't stay in where? In the truth. Please, this is critical. It's a pity we couldn't project it, but listen, this is very important. Because God wants to help you to change your thinking. But when the thinking is changed, something begins to happen to your life. It will affect. Last week, we look at every different aspect of your future you must look into. Look at this. When any of you here get into wrong marriage, don't divorce. Just stay in there because you've had enough. You are moving to see that path by yourself. Stay in there. You know, because marriage, for instance, is not something I didn't know. No. When you get the truth upstairs here, you can get it right. So I want to teach you the principle of getting the future right. Life is full of unforeseen contingencies. Are you getting it? But yet, life is also, it has keys that you can open. You can be rest assured, I can open this door. This is my lot. I will open this or my marriage will work. And then you choose that path. And then you go by the principles, then you realize it will work. Because it is in God's making that you should fail in your marriage, that you should fail in life. God doesn't want that for you. Sometimes, you know, we think God wants us to fail. God doesn't try you with failure. He doesn't try you with disease. You know, I can't try my son and say, let me try him. Let me try him, what it will look like if he has headache. Then I put headache there. Then day one, day two, he's having headache. I say, wow, so this is how it feels. Then he's crying. I can't try him with that evil. So, devil, from what we've seen, does not stay in what? In truth. This is critical. Now, the whole world that you see is being ruled by the devil. But God is there. Now, Adam and Eve gave it to him. And God is a God of principle. They handed over the key to him. That's the reason for Jesus. Jesus isn't a religious man. I'm a Christian. I'm a Buddhist. No, it's not that one. My church is this one. No, it's not that thing. I wish everybody would see Jesus as our Jesus. Not that one is for them, our own is confused. No, it's not that. Why Jesus came, it is because Satan has enslaved us. So the Bible says Satan doesn't stay in the truth. So anything that is true, devil can't stand it. Then who is the devil? Please read up. What is he? He can't stand in the truth, but he has so if he can't stand the truth, he sows certain things into our mind, and you picked it up in your family, you picked it up in your environment, you picked it up in the school, you picked it up wherever you go, and that is what you picked up. You pick up lies. Please continue. He abodes not in the truth. So can you see? He doesn't have any iota of truth in him.
When he speaks a lie.
When he does what? He doesn't have iota of truth in him. His component, his composition is what?
Lies.
He is made up of what? Lies. Now you won't see the devil appear to you. But the operations you see in the world, they are all what? Lies. I've been giving you example. Let me give you one example. They say when you cheat in your exam, you'll be what? You'll be expelled, right? Now, the invigilator who has caught you cheating, you know they cheat. He could be a cheat himself. Then he will arrest you and say you have cheated. But he himself is a cheat. Huh? Now all those people in our Bible, don't they steal school money? Huh? No, is anyone who says they don't steal? Because David says first, but he knows how they steal. He knows the proportion. No, who says they don't steal? Okay, maybe they are clean. So some of them don't steal. Okay, the politicians, do they steal? Look at the way they are looking at me. If they don't steal, your country will remain like this. Thank you, Jared. You are going to America next year. Because you are doing, all of them, they like it. You go leave them. Go and enjoy them. You are going giddy. The meaning says they don't. You see, they say, no, Pastor, why are you accusing our leaders? So they don't steal. If African leaders are all thieves, all of them. Sir? Well, he's dead.
He's the one of his kind.
Give me one that is alive. Sir? Who is that? Where is he? If African leaders are okay, if African leaders are okay, the continent wouldn't remain the way it is. They steal, but when you steal, they will arrest you. You stand before the court. Because they say, I've only stolen small money, you will stand before the court. You'll be sentenced to jail. The judge that is sentencing you is a thief himself. So, is there truth in the system? Truth is not in the system. So who is doing all of these things? The judge, when the judge is doing it, you will think he will be doing like a reasonable human being. This is my judgment. All, I haven't gone through the defendants and the prosecution. They will read all those things. I hereby sentence, you will sentence that person to jail. But there's no truth in you yourself. So the Bible says there is no truth in the devil. And he can't stand in truth. I'm going somewhere. He doesn't have truth. That's why lie, when you tell lies, you are saying that you're the devil. May lies leave our mouth in Jesus. May we be delivered from lies. May my life be truth. May your life be remain truth. And may it be true. You know, my dear brother, you know, many women now, they are not having true lies. Two lives. They want to put something here. They want to put something here. They want to appear like something they are not. Somebody is telling them, I must add something. before I appear beautiful. So devil who cannot stand in truth, who cannot do the truth, the whole of his composition is a lie. And then the Bible says something. The Bible says that when he speaks, what does he speak?
When he speaks a lie,
he speaks what?
His own language. For he's a liar.
For what?
He's a liar.
And father of what? Father of this world.
Now when he speaks, so it means that anything the devil says is a lie. Now can I tell you the truth? Devil has spoken to you this morning more than you have heard God's voice. Plenty words. Devil has spoken to your head. Devil has told you a lot of lies. And that lies is what the devil keeps telling you every day. And that's why the Bible says you must be transformed if you don't want to conform. Because the one who is talking to this earth is always lying to everybody. Lie. So everyone on the face of the earth, they are leaning on their lies. So if a man says, no, I'm going this way, that person will begin to face transformation. The devil will say, pursue him. He mustn't go that way. That's not the way. So if you are going to be contradictory to the patterns of this world, you will begin to get transformed. They will spot you that you don't want to go in the same order. Let me tell you one of the lies. One of the lies is that you can't go after you are done with school, 400 level. You go and meet your parent. You say, Dad, I've seen the person I want to marry. I think I should be getting married in the next 1 year. And you are just 22. Dave, what would they tell
you?
Are you sure? Why would they ask you, are you sure? Listen to this. You are too young.
You just finished.
You have not settled down. No money. It's not part of our norms. That's not the norms. But what if you impregnate a lady at 90?
Also, avoid disgrace. You might sit down with the family and maybe arrange like a
okay. Now, what if you are sleeping with different girls on campus and then none of them, no pregnancy? Are you okay where you go? Would it show on your forehead? Are you not okay? But are you offending laws? Are you offending God? Are you making devil happy? So that's why you see a guy who is 25 is not thinking married, but he's having sex. And that sex is nothing to him. It's not any problem. Devil has told him lies that you can do this, but you can't do this. Devil has told him lies that you can be planning, doing sex, but never you plan for marriage. Hell in life. So there's a whole lot of lies that the devil has kept in the minds of man. And then just like you said, 22-year-old, do you know it is the same way? Something tells you that at 22, you can't make it in life. 22, you are just starting. Do you know something also tells you that? Something tells you at 22, you can't make it in life. No, you are still young. So devil keeps talking lies to us and keeping us down with lies. And for those of us who wants to be changed and transformed, we must begin to embrace the truth. So let me tell you some of the dealings of lies in my whole life. When I was young, I had a vision at 20. And do you know devil kept puncturing my heart that you are too young, you can't do this. I'm telling you, it was a big vision. And the Lord put it in my heart. And at 21, are you with me please? I went to discuss with my friends. I said, this is the vision I have. I said, okay, let's start. And I can't forget the first day we had our meeting, it was September 11, 2001. Because when we were holding meeting, that was when they were showing that American World Trade Center was down. That we were holding our meeting, I was just 22 at that time, 2001. And then devil kept telling me, you are too young for this. You are too young for this. This thing is going to require a whole lot of money. This is not how it should be. Don't you know you're a young man? Don't do this. The lies kept coming to my heart for years till I stopped it. And when I stopped it, devil told me a lot of lies, because the same devil is telling you lies, and he'll be giving you excuses, he'll be making it to be rational, and then he kept telling me, he said, have you ever seen anybody do this kind of thing before in your life? Have you heard this thing being done? I said, but that's true, I have not heard anybody. And then he's told me a lot of lies and lies, and just in the last 7 years, I have seen lots of people coming up, doing the same thing God said I should do when I was young. The same thing. Many of them coming up, say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And that was the same idea that God gave to me when I was young. But devil kept telling me, you are young. You need age to do this thing. Or this thing has not existed. How many times you have an idea, something will tell you are too young to do that thing. And that thing is noble. That thing is excellent. It's a praise, it's praiseworthy. That thing is pure. And the devil would attack your mind never to settle on it, that you can't achieve that. So devil tells, he keeps telling people lies, and nobody will be set free from his lies except you are able to embrace the truth. And the truth is Christ. The truth are those things that we saw last week in Philippians. Please, can you open Philippians again? Chapter 4, verse 8. Those are the things that, you know, those are the components of the truth. Those things that you begin to think on, they are the components you must think about on the truth. And then Philippians 4, 8 says that, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. You know, he mentioned true first. Whatever the thing that is true. Now, you must, he said, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, what must you be doing? You must be thinking. And if you can think on what is true, you can be thinking on what is honest. You can be thinking of what is just. You think of what is pure. Now, look at what we have today. All of the gadgets we have around, they hinder our thinking. As I'm preaching, and somebody is on something else. I didn't see you, but that's the norms. So don't think I'm seeing you. I didn't see anybody. Do you know, it's a, something is fighting with your thoughts. He's making your thought to stray away. And the devil has brought down heavy machinery to the earth. What are those things? Your social media, your phone. You are there fighting your thought. They never wanted you to concentrate on a thought. You can't, you know, I began to, I think for my children. And they are reprioritizing. You know, in our home days, we don't have anything distracting us. So when you are praying, you are praying. Devil won't bring anything out. Eh? Except your own thoughts. And after a while, you go through your thoughts, you will travel higher. But do you know today, as it happened to you, as you are praying, if you pray at all anymore, as you are praying, somebody tells you, pa, pom, pom, notification. I'll do it. I'm coming. Just take care. Yeah, I'm coming. You know, it's bringing a lot of distractions. This thing. To your mind. Okay, let's assume you are not even praying. Can you, you know, when I was in school, Polytechnic, every Friday, as I'm leaving lecture hall, I'm going to lie down in my room and read my Bible. Then I'll lie down just facing the wall and thinking. It's a lovely time for me. No food. There's no even yam food. So nobody will call you. Except you hear a knock at your door. Life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. But do you know now, phone has brought us a lot of advantages. It gives us one, it's taking 10 from us. It gives you one, it takes away 10. Do you know now, we don't know how to relate anymore. We don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to write letters to our friends. You know, in those days, we write letters. Then you send it. It will take days. You know, those days, there's trust. You know, just trust in yourself. In those days, your spirit is working well. You go and visit somebody, I have not told the person. Then we began to think, how do you know you meet that person at all? Those days, you guys didn't know that kind of, how do you even know the address of that person? The person said, I stay here, especially in Ghana, no address. Is it working? So how do you locate that person? Your spirit is alert. Sometimes you just be going and say, please. So everybody knows somebody. I'm asking for Benny's. He said, who is Benny's? Hey, that girl, she's fair. Oh, is this place? Then you get a trap. But today, you know it's not like that again. You need something to, you need something to tell you something. You know, dictionary, I bought dictionary for this guy. He's not checking it. You know, those days you have to check dictionary. But today, even with you having dictionary on your phone, hardly do you check it. So in those days, you have to study your book. There's not no Google will help you to write any love letter. You have to read. That those days, my wife, they just kept reading and reading. These things have come to take away meditation away from us. We can't meditate anymore. But can we take up a challenge where you will throw your phone and you will go on phone fasting for days? You say, today, I'm not touching my phone. Do that during the holiday. Just place it off it.
Phone fast.
Phone fast. You just say, I'm not touching it today. But do you know when you don't touch it, it's like something is out. It's like you are missing something. It's like your life is not complete. Where's my life? Oh, my life. Ah, where have you been? Ah, you know, it's like, and this thing is, so this thing is not giving us many lies. You know, all of us here, I can tell you, this thing, they sell many lies on this thing, especially on social media. How many of us? I told my wife, beginning of this year, I've not been spending much time on Facebook. But beginning of this year, I told my wife, I said, I have no business social media. I have no business Facebook. If I go to Facebook, I have to go and check, is devotional being posted? I want to only deal with news. If I needed news, let me be on Google to search what I need. Not what I don't need. Not what I don't need. Not short. Now you have short all manner on short. You can spend 2 hours on short. And after you are done, something, a lot of lies has been sold to you. Now it's a difficult one for you to be taken away from me, but I have seen a student who was delivered. One of my guys. I said, don't you, the guy doesn't go to. I said, what are you always doing? He's always on documentary. You understand that kind of thing? He's always going for info. So he knows almost something about everything. Because when you see him on his laptop, he's talking about, okay, 1957, yes, this one. I said, where did you get it? He said, his dad told him. So you know where he's investing his mind. So the mind is growing. The mind is getting renewed. And do you know that people today, you know, I kept telling you, I said, all of you going to shorts, you two start producing shorts. When you lack, put it on TikTok. Let people watch. Let them post it also. So there's a whole lot of lies coming from there. So the Bible says that the things you think on, they must be true. So it therefore means that anything that will not be true, you will think on it. And anything that will sell falsehood to you, you'll be far away from it. And the next thing he says is that whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things that are what? Just. Whatsoever things that are pure. As you begin to think about these things, you will see struggles against your mind. And the only thing that will bring that struggle is this. So set a time just to be thinking. And you know when you think, your thinking has power to attract something good to your life. Your thinking, just think about something, it will bring it. I was thinking the last day, I think around February, I was coming from the north and I was thinking something. I saw the realization this month. Just thinking. Because your thoughts now is pure. So you have to make it to be thinking. And by your thoughts, you can pierce the windows of heaven. Because now, as you think, set your mind on what is pure. Why don't you think about, oh, can I feed 250,000 children? Oh, 250,000, wow. If I give them 10 CDs meal, one person 10 CDs in the afternoon, 30 CDs per person, that's for one person, 30 CDs at 250,000. Wow, how would I do this? You see, as you begin to think about that thing every day, something is drawing towards you. Resources will be coming towards you. You see, so if you think about that for 5 years, in the next 5 years, something will happen to you. Your mind is already transformed. You have thought about the whole details of that thing. So you think ahead. Then when you think, thought, the next thing you must do is that you begin to decide. You see, when you decide is when you are leaving this, you are taking this, you are leaving this, you are taking this, you are saying, no, I won't go this way, that you begin to decide ahead. You begin to decide ahead the kind of woman you can settle for, the kind of man you can settle with. And then, as you begin to decide, what you are doing in decision-making, in deciding, is that you are choosing between alternatives, and then you are settling down on a principle for the future. You are beginning to say, no, I won't do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to cheat in my marriage. I will never, never. I'm not going to cheat. It's not good. And then, even if, then you begin to choose between alternatives ahead of time, and then when you have done that, the next thing is that you are planning. You see, you think, you decide, and you plan. Okay, this is my plan. That's what Jesus said. Now, when you plan, look at what you are going to do. It's a pity. Do you have that video? Can you post it to the mentorship for people to just see? Post it to wherever they are. Now, when you plan, what time is going? Now, when you plan, it will help you to now carry your cross. That's what Jesus said in that Luke. It will help you to carry your cross. Luke 14, we now go up and see what the Lord is saying. Luke 14, to post it to CI Campus Movement and everywhere. Thank you. Now in that Luke 14, let's go to that Luke 14 while it's posting. In that Luke 14, 27, Jesus now said, and whosoever... That was how he got to what he was saying about who want to build a house without first sitting down. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, you have a cross to bear when you are young, when you are home. There's a cross you must bear. So if you have seen that video, you can watch it. There's a cross you must carry. And that cross, you must carry it when you are young. I love something in the book of Lamentation. I saw it when I was young, maybe in my 20s, and I can't forget it. Lamentations, I love that scripture. 3:27. I'm not sure I will forget so soon. So you have a cross to carry. I can't forget it. 27. Lamentation 27. He says, it is good for a man that he bears the yoke in his youth. It is good. So that man does not mean male. It means the whole gender, neuter, right?